Chris something.
I think I'm on. Yes, I'm on. Okay, lovely to be with you and to be able to share in this time. Interesting that Wayne went to Romania and then almost immediately up to the Ukraine. Before he left, he reassured us that everything was fine, everything was all right. He rang us when he was back in Romania, and there was a different tone in his voice, because things had been a bit hairy. He knew of things that were going to be a problem, but it was okay, and he had a good time. Do pray for him. He has some contacts with his consultant shortly, and he'll be finding out what the future treatments need to be. I do appreciate your prayer for Pam and I, and been assured of people praying for us regularly. It's not an easy time, and it's partly in the light of that that I want to share this morning. Pam and I went to Australia in 1963, and we joined in with the training school in a little place called Plumpton outside Sydney, and it was one of those places where there were a lot of enthusiastic young people, a lot of good teachers, and we'd sing regularly. And one of the songs I learned in 1963 was this one: "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. Out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." And then just a month or so ago, in a quiet moment, it came back to me. 54 years later, I'd not sung it, not thought about it, but it came back at a tough time, and I had to find the book. I had to go searching in some old store things, and I found the book, and it's true. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. In 63, I was just coming to the end of being 22 and about to start being 23. And life was different. We'd not long landed in Australia. We had a lot of things ahead of us. We didn't know what was ahead of us, but it was exciting. And I believe this didn't understand it. You see, for many of us, our faith, our Christianity, is in the realm of theory. We've been told things. We've been encouraged about certain issues. And I know many of you are going through serious conflicts just now in your own lives. But it was this area of coming from theory to reality. And the wonderful thing with our Saviour is that he can stand reality. Some people have got to live in theory because they can't stand living in the truth. Jesus is not theoretical. Jesus is real because he is truth. And we were in a totally different situation then, and there was no doubt at all in my mind that everybody in the group who was singing this piece believed it. But what we believed was going to be tested. And that's where Clive, and thank you for reading that passage from Philippians, that's where verse 10 of Philippians is very important, Philippians 3 is very important for us. Paul says that I might know him. Now, you can look round and you can say, well, I know them, I know that one, I know this one. Don't know them so well. But it's not knowing from information. What Paul is talking about is knowing from experience. I've walked with him. I've known him with me in different situations. I've known his power. I've experienced his power. I've seen his change in my life. That I might know him. But further on in this passage, Paul says, not that I've already arrived, but I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God, Jesus. You see, there is no ultimate place of arrival for us in the Christian life until we get to glory. And then we shall be like him. That's a prospect, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And I've had people debating whether we'll all be 33 or not. It's not that. I've been joking this month because my dog and I are the same age now. You know, she's 11 and I'm 11 in dog years. My younger sister said to me, have you got your shorts on? You're going to school with your long socks. And I remembered a couple of years later, my mum, after the summer holidays, for some reason, sent me back to school in short shorts. So I was known round the school as the little Swiss boy. Because it was rather like that. But all I was saying is the dog and I are the same age. But things are different. things have changed since those years in Australia when we first learned this song. Because Pam's different, I'm different, and our situation is different. But what I found is that Jesus is not different. Because he's the same today. He was the same today as he was yesterday, and as he will be tomorrow. I had a friend who went to Tanzania with me, and he'd made arrangements for us to borrow a Nissan pickup, and we were going from Dar es Salaam right down to the south and Mbeya, and then coming back we stopped in Iringa, and then we were going on to Dar es Salaam, and halfway through there's a game park, and it's called Mikumi. And as the main road goes right through the game park. So you can be driving along, and there's a zebra, a real zebra crossing. there's giraffes going along. All the animals are alongside the road. And of course the trees are full of vultures and things, waiting for one of those animals to get killed so they can have a feed. And as we were going along, on the left-hand side, and they drive on the left, there was a young lion, a male, being kicked out of the pride, I expect. And he was just sunning himself under a tree, waiting for a traffic kill. We'd only gone about 300 yards. And suddenly the accelerator went right down to the boards, and I realised the cable had broken. And all I had was a pair of pliers and my friend Alan. Now, Alan would talk to me about cars, and he'd say he was going to get a new vehicle. And it had this compression that it did ought to 60 in so many minutes or seconds. And he knew all the details. But he sat in the car, in the pickup, and he said, "Sorry, Bill, I don't know a thing about what's under the bonnet. You'll have to fix it." So I thought about the line down the road and got out. I said, "Well, you watch and pray." And I got out, checked. I needed something about this long. And I remembered there was something in the door on the passenger side, and I went back. And Alan was watching and praying with his eyes shut. So we fixed it, and we made the additional 120 miles to Dar es Salaam. And it was good. But he had the theory, but he couldn't do the job. You know, our faith is not theory. Our faith is equipment to do the job. Our faith is an enabling to make it possible for us to change the situation that we are in and what others are in. To help and encourage in the world that we live in. It's been interesting this week listening to different people bringing a Christian perspective to what happened in Manchester. It's been sad as well to hear Christians almost preaching hate. And that's not what we're in. We're to love our enemies. Tom brought us a challenge this morning. A challenge that Jesus brings to us. How do I get to know him? James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, and Clive's already mentioned it this morning, let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. A little bit further on in that passage, just a couple of verses further on, it says, be doers of the work. You see, our faith, what we believe, ought to be mirrored in how we live, what we do, how we touch other people. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? I remember somebody mentioning one time that I wasn't so much a preacher as a storyteller. And I thought, that's not bad. That's what they said about Jesus. He told stories. So I'm in good company, that's all right. And I'll accept that. But you see, what James is saying to us is, look, our faith is functional. It's not something that we take out of the cupboard on a Sunday morning and bring along to Twinning Chapel. It's not something that we exercise when we are together. It's something that we exercise when we're on our own. It's something that has to work for us individually in the situations that we face every day. And I have found it hard. You know, one of the hardest things that I've found, and I'm just being quite frank here, is that I can tell Pam something, and just a couple of seconds afterwards, she asks me the same question, and I have to tell her again. And one day, I was just reminded, I do that with God all the time. But he doesn't write me off with dementia. He listens to me. He responds. He cares. And it's that area that my faith needs to be real. My care, my nurturing, this is, I think, the first time I've preached since last October. And so I'm getting used to it again. But just thinking about it, one of the challenges to me was, Bill, you're out of a job. But I'm not out of a relationship. In fact, I'm still in a job because technically I can't resign as yet. So I'm still the church leader. But I've delegated. That's the right word, isn't it? To delegate. But looking at it, I felt lost. Because I didn't have the calls and the demands on me that when I had them, I didn't always appreciate. So it's coming into a new realm, a new area. To know him by experience. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. Now, I've never been the sort of student that Wayne is. Wayne will pore over books, and he has conquered his dyslexia in an amazing way, where I still battle with mine. And in fact, it seems to have got worse. Certain times. But looking at it, I'm in that place where I am spending more time in the presence of Jesus than in the books about Jesus. There's a difference. You can gather all the knowledge, like Alan. I'd go to his flat. He was a single fellow. I'd go to his flat and there'd be piles of motor magazines. And he read everything about them. But he didn't know how to use a screwdriver. He couldn't work a pair of pliers. If he had to put a curtain rail up, he used to ask a friend. I don't want a faith like that. I want a faith that works in the Manchester Arena. I want a faith that works in Cheltenham General Hospital. I want a faith that works in difficult times. That I might know him. I've had to say, Lord, I need you today. I need you to stop me losing my temper. I need you to take me through this hardship. I need you. I want to know you today. I want to know you in this situation because this is where I am. And you've promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And I need you today. I need you now. Some time back I shared from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, and it talks about just the fact that we are, God is the God of all comfort. But how do you know the God of all comfort? The God of all comfort comes to us in our troubles, in our tribulations. And he brings healing in those times. And my conclusion is that we need our difficulties, whatever they might be. My difficulties in 1963 in Australia were mosquitoes. It's bugs. Just the place. We lived in a house with no running water. And it was 100 yards to the toilet, which on occasions with tummy bugs was an awful long way. But I'm finding the grace of God greater now than I knew it then. How do we know the comfort of God? By going to him in our time of trial. I'll just read this again. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no measure. Rather, his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again and again and again and again. And if I want to know him, Paul said that I might know him. And then he goes on and he says, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed to his death. He sort of puts it in the package. It's not resurrection after death. It's the power of resurrection before death. It's not suffering as a theoretical thing. It's identification with God. And it's being conformed to his death in saying, not my will, but your will be done. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Father, I just ask that you'd help us today to walk with you, to love you as we love one another, and to love one another as we love you. Help us, Lord, to see your purpose in all that is before us, and to grow in your will, your way. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, you have a song for us.